Thank you. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
You have reached. A reading from the first letter of Peter. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. There's a reason that one of the most enduring and popular rock songs of all time is the Rolling Stones' I Can't Get No Satisfaction, which was released before I was born and still gets airplay today. Okay, one reason is definitely that guitar riff by Keith Richards, but another reason is that we live in a society that is rooted in dissatisfaction. If that sounds like too sweeping a generalization, I invite you to imagine what would happen if one day everyone in this country woke up completely emotionally and spiritually satisfied. No more worry about my weight or my hair or the color of our bedroom curtains. One thing that would happen is that the American economy would collapse. Dissatisfaction with our bodies, our homes, our bank accounts, and even our relationships drive the consumerism on which our society is built. Before I go on, it's important to note here that the word satisfaction sometimes has an entirely different meaning in a religious context, a very specific technical meaning based on the idea of repaying a debt. It is closely aligned with theories of atonement and redemption. But that's not what I want to talk about today. Instead, I am thinking about the remarkable exchange in today's gospel when Philip says to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." This is the statement that got me wondering. If I could ask Jesus for just one thing, the one thing that would satisfy me, what would it be? And is there really any reason not to be satisfied right now with the life and circumstances I already have? If keeping us perpetually dissatisfied is the purpose of the advertising and marketing pressure we experience day in and day out, that doesn't mean that all dissatisfaction is shallow or wrong. For example, not being satisfied with what is good enough fuels much of the achievement and innovation that we depend upon. Driven, high-achieving people use a certain kind of dissatisfaction to get things done, to push past the boundaries of what seems possible, leading to breakthroughs in science, technology, art, medicine, and more. Another form of healthy, possibly even holy, dissatisfaction can be that sense of not being okay with injustice and inequality, which drives some of our great reformers and activists. If everyone were satisfied with the status quo, we would have nobody asking the hard questions about poverty, environmental racism, endless war, and the countless other ills that beset us. Sometimes good enough really isn't good enough. And we need people who remind us that all is not as it should be and who inspire us to do something about it. At the heart level, feeling dissatisfied can be a clue that something is amiss in ourselves or in the world around us. My spiritual director likes to talk about sacred cravings. And she says it's important to pay attention when we feel dissatisfied. If I start getting envious, for example, convinced that everyone is out there having fun without me, it could be that the Holy Spirit is reminding me that I haven't taken a day off for a while, or I haven't been focusing on people and experiences that bring me joy. The trick is to remember that when I feel like there's something out there that I need to fill myself back up, it might be that I need to do a little internal calibrating first to discern if I really need a trip to Tahiti to feel okay about myself again, or if maybe just a day at the Arboretum with friends would suffice. So those are some of the ways that we perhaps need the energy that comes from dissatisfaction, energy that can create change and make the world a better place. Nonetheless, there is a danger that dissatisfaction can go too far and result in unhealthy perfectionism, chronic restlessness and discontent, and becoming hypercritical of ourselves and others, all of which leads us back to where we started with the concern that our inner lives are being co-opted, even colonized, by people and corporations who profit from our dissatisfaction. To see how the idea of satisfaction works in today's gospel, it might help to remember that this passage from the Gospel of John is a part of what we often call the farewell discourse. It's essentially a set of instructions that Jesus gives to his friends on the last night of his earthly life. He is preparing them for what it will be like to live without him. Except that, paradoxically, he is also saying that they will never actually live without him, because even death cannot separate them. We often hear this passage at funerals, and it tells us everything we need to know about the Christian understanding of death, that we are hearing it again now, during the Easter season. By dying and rising again, Jesus goes ahead of us, preparing a place for us so that we might have eternal life. It's that simple and that hard to grasp. So I keep circling back around to that pronouncement of Philip's, that all he and the other disciples need to be satisfied is to see the Father, whom I take to mean God. On the one hand, Philip and all those listening have been taught that nobody can see God and live, so his request is audacious. On the other hand, it is touchingly pure and faithful, so simple and trusting and wholehearted. I wonder if I can honestly say the same thing. Would seeing God be enough to satisfy me? Or will I always want more? And how is this connected to Jesus telling us not to let our hearts be troubled? Is that another way of saying, be at ease, be satisfied? Even your grief can be held lightly because you have all that you need right here and right now. The English word satisfied is only one way to translate the Greek word archaeo that we find in this passage. As New Testament professor Laura Holmes points out, this precise word is likely placed here with a very specific purpose to remind us of an earlier exchange between Jesus and Philip. She writes, "At the feeding of the 5,000, only the Gospel of John narrates an exchange where Jesus explicitly tests Philip by asking him, 'Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?' And Philip responds, 6 months' wages would not suffice, would not buy enough bread, sufficient, archaeo, sufficient for everyone to take a little. Of course, in that miraculous situation, Philip is wrong. The people do end up with enough bread to eat and be satisfied. In fact, more than enough, since there were baskets left over. I almost wish the people who put the lectionary together had included Psalm 22 as one of today's options because of the wonderful lines, "The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him." This parallelism makes clear that God wants us to be satisfied, and at the same time, God is the means of our satisfaction. You hear it also in that petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And the spiritual and ethical implications of that are made clear by a translation by John Philip Newell. Those lines come out instead, "May love rise again in us today with food for every table, shelter for every family, and reverence for every life." Clearly, the gospel message about satisfaction is very different than what commercials or even the Rolling Stones mean by the word. Gospel satisfaction is about enoughness, about sufficiency, not about having everything we could ever imagine or desire. But it is also not stingy or tight-fisted. And paired with the I am statements that come next, it is clearly about Jesus himself being that sufficiency, that satisfaction, that bread that feeds our bodies and souls that will never leave us hungry. Asking myself, what do I need to be satisfied? And being honest with myself about the answer is a good spiritual discipline. It occurs to me that the whole history of our faith might be very different if for the last 2,000 years the question, what do we need to be satisfied, had been more central and urgent than the question, what do we need to do to be saved? This passage from the Gospel of John, so often used to exclude or frighten people, is not Jesus telling people what to do to be saved. It is Jesus telling us that he is the way, he is the bread, he is the salvation and the satisfaction. If, like Philip, we truly want to see God, all we have to do is open our eyes. Open our eyes to Jesus and to the divine presence in the world around us. The Eucharist is one place where we can practice this kind of satisfaction. We take one small chunk of bread and one sip of wine, and we know that we are tasting the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and that it will be made available to us again and again. We can also practice satisfaction by noticing how much we already have, how much the world that God created is longing to give us glimpses of God here and now. When we are satisfied with what we have, not only can our hearts focus on what matters, but we can then be part of creating a world where everyone has enough. This sense of enoughness and the satisfaction to be had through creation is beautifully captured in the short poem by Wendell Berry entitled, "What We Need Is Here." He writes, "Geese appear high over us, pass, and the sky closes. Abandon, as in love or sleep, holds them to their way, clear in the ancient faith. What we need is here. And we pray not for a new earth or heaven, but to be quiet in heart and in eye, clear. What we need is here. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit, Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us offer our prayers for the Church and for the world.
Lord, as you have called us to walk in your way, guide us that we may do what you would have us to do and be what you would have us to be, that we may reveal your truth and lead others to the fullness of life. Be our strong rock. Hide us under the shadow of your wing and help us be satisfied with the peace and abundance that only you can give. Lord, lead us in the ways of peace.
And guide us in the path of life.
O God, our times are in your hands. We pray for all who are in positions of authority, in the church and in the world. Give us the wisdom and courage to speak truth to power and to offer support and compassion to those who are called upon to make difficult decisions that will affect our community, our country, and the planet. Lord, lead us in the ways of peace.
And guide us in the path of life.
We praise you for all who have enriched our lives and for all who build up our community, for all who teach truth and set us on a good path. We give thanks for friends and family, teachers and guides. We pray for all those whose life work is peacemaking and for all who contribute to the healing and renewal of the earth. Lord, lead us in the ways of peace.
And guide us in the path of life.
We pray for all who are confused and anxious, and for all who have lost their way. We pray for all who live a lie and ask for conversion of heart for those who promote lies instead of dwelling in truth. We pray for all who are troubled in body, mind, or spirit, and especially for those on our parish prayer list. Lord, lead us in the ways of peace.
And guide us in the path of life.
Lord Christ, as you have gone before us and prepared a place for us, lead us until we come fully into your kingdom and walk before you in that life which is eternal. We pray for those who have died and all who mourn.
We pray for the repose of the soul of Alex Mata and for his family and friends who mourn.
Lord, lead us in the ways of peace.
And guide us in the path of life.
Holy God, we thank you that you have called us to be your people, a royal priesthood, that we may proclaim your love and presence in the world. Guide us to walk in your way, rejoice in your truth, and be kept forever in the life which you give, which is eternal. Through him who lived and died and rose again for us, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you."
Good morning. We have our usual very full yellow announcement sheet. There are so many ways in here that we are inviting people to be involved. There are camps happening in Davis and around the diocese. We are asking for help with various committees, including the Budget and Finance Committee. There are ways that you can be involved in helping out at Pentecost with adding another language. We have food packing, the Pride booth. There's just a whole lot in here that is an offering that you can give and be a part of. So do check registration dates and deadlines that are in here throughout. There's one thing we didn't put in here because technically the deadline is passed, but if you were kind of thinking you should maybe sign up for the May 9th racial justice or racial reconciliation and healing workshop, I think if you let me know that you're interested, we might still be able to sneak you in. Probably the best thing to do, though, actually, is to contact the office. So, because I might forget if you tell me today. But if you do it today, send an email or call the office, please. Lots of other things in here. I did want to say, in terms of stuff coming up really soon, next Sunday, May 10th, we're celebrating Rogation Sunday, and so before this service, we're going to have sort of a little bit like the procession with donkeys, but no donkeys. We're going to have a Rogation procession at the beginning of the service. We're also starting some occasional Bible studies. There will be one on May 17th after this service, and of course, I've already mentioned Pentecost and the many languages that occur on that day, and that we are having one service, if you didn't see that. And then the Sunday after that, we're celebrating graduates. So like I said, there's a lot for you to take a look at here. I know we had some celebrations and milestones. Did we get that sorted out? We have birthdays all over the place. Yeah. I didn't, at the 8 o'clock service, I think we had 4 birthdays. Is there anyone here who would like to add a celebration or a milestone?
Mel's not here, but she has a big one.
Her birthday is tomorrow. Well, you should tell us again when she comes back. Oh, she's in Godly Play. Okay, they're just having fun. Over there.
Zoe's birthday was yesterday.
Yay! Others. Okay. Well, maybe we should wait till Adele gets here. I don't know. We have up here an usher who is carrying a box of our goodie bags. So if you are new, if you've been here maybe just once or twice, or it's been a very long time and you haven't received one of our welcome bags, please raise your hand so that Michael can see you and bring you a goodie bag, a welcome bag. We won't embarrass you or ask you to introduce yourself. We will have some available outside too, but raise your hand now if you want a goodie bag. Okay. Going once, going twice, they have chocolate. Also, I can, we'll talk for just a second about the Eucharist. I think most of you have done this before, but we have Eucharist, we come to the communion rail for communion, for Eucharist, and we have gluten-free bread, which is homemade. It's also vegan, and when it comes around, you can either leave it in your hand, meaning that the Eucharistic minister who comes along with the chalice will intinct it and hand it back to you. Or if you consume the bread right away, then you have the option to either drink from the chalice or cross your arms for a blessing instead. Like I said, everyone is welcome to come forward. We try to make this a place where everyone can have a place at the table. All right, we're going to go ahead with the Celebrations and Milestones prayer on page 5. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By Christ's death he has destroyed death, and by Christ's rising to life again he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember Christ's death, we proclaim Christ's resurrection, we await Christ's coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with blessed Martin and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please rise for the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have graciously accepted us as living members of our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Savior. Amen. Christ our way leads us. Christ our truth illumines us. Christ our life brings us to life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.